Spencer, is your phone charged?
It is. Thank you for asking, sugar.
Hell yes.
I got a whopping 61% charge.
You know what? I'll take it.
I gave my phone a biscuit.
I made biscuits today.
Oh, they were fucking good, weren't they?
They were good.
Did you say it to yourself when you were cooking them? You did, didn't you? You thought you were like, yeah.
I'm gonna have a biscuit. And I did.
Yeah, it feels good. It feels good to do that. Yeah, you're like 2% more Tennessean now. You're like, oh, I'll make myself a biscuit.
Most importantly, I didn't like wait in line for an $8 biscuit somewhere.
No, you didn't. Like a fucking mark. Like a chump.
I'd just like to point out the one episode where we don't have Holly on, and Holly's not on tonight because of technical difficulties, is the one where all that the struggle to reach 1,000 is real. When Holly's on, no problem.
Oh, no. It pops.
5 seconds. When it's fucking misogyny after dark over here, slow climb. Slow, wheezy climb to the top of 1,000 mountain.
Once we get that going, we might have to settle for. I will not settle for 900. We will not get going.
Oh, that's it already. The soft bigotry of Spencer's lowered expectations.
You're on men's rights after dark.
That's right.
Yep. You know, it's the only safe. It's the only safe space for me now. The Twitter space. Unless they want to cancel me for my fuzzy math.
I'm seeing crying emojis in the chat. Soon as Jordan Peterson weighing in.
Once again, people not listening to Fullcast After Dark Live are silencing white males, as so many parts of the world are.
That's why they won't let me on Twitter. I'm simply too powerful.
That dude really said, I think you should clean your room. And like 10,000 dudes were like, what? What?
Did he say that, or did he say you should tell your mom to clean your room?
We're being discriminated against.
You should tell your mother to clean your room.
Are we there?
We did. Come on, let's. All right, yeah, we'll go ahead.
Let's
roll.
Once the social media cancel culture stops, we're being shadow banned. I think is what's happening.
You see, males have an inherent need to dominate social media. That is true. Also, I can't do math.
You know what it is? How can we talk over Holly if she's not here?
Correct. We can do this now,
by the way. Well, if you think about it right now, we are talking over every woman on Earth, technically.
Fuck. Fuck.
Fullcast After Dark for men.
Welcome to the Fullcast After Dark. We are here to recap the week that was in college football as best we can. That will include my assertion that I watched the most dog shit loss for a dog shit team this year today. Today, and I don't think everyone's going to agree with me because I think they have another dog shit team they want to mention. I want to go ahead and introduce everyone here. I'm Spencer Hall at ADSBS. You're listening to me talking with Jason Kirk and with Ryan Nanny, aka Celebrity Hot Tub. We are going to try to get through all of this. I see in the chat, by the way, listening all the way from beautiful Australia, Jane Coaston. Shouts out to Jane for listening from literally the other side of the world. And good morning to you. Or should I say good day?
Can I just point out Jay Arnold, Texas A&M Aggie, is just hammering the tear emojis. There's surely a reason for that. It probably goes along, Spencer, with the dog shit loss you were referring to a moment ago.
Jay was at the LSU Ole Miss game doing chewies today with Ashton Cookbook.
He was.
So he had a fine time. As A&M days go, his was fine.
He had the best day of any Aggie. That is for
That's
certain.
That's right. That's right.
I've always appreciated when Aggies go to LSU for a tailgate, because I have to imagine it's like showing up with the Lost Boys for the first time, right? When you roll with Peter Pan, it's like, oh my God, they never go to bed. There are no soldiers here.
I'm allowed to untuck my shirt.
I'm allowed to untuck my shirt.
Whee! Untuck my shirt, pour beer down my pants, and then drink my pants.
Their hair's not combed.
Yeah, this bunch of freaking hippies here in Louisiana.
That's it. Yeah, that guy only has one gun as a sidearm. That's amazing.
Here I am in the liberal utopia of Louisiana.
Now hold on, Baton Rouge. That's his cooking gun. Be nice.
It's how I light my cigar.
All right, so you want to talk about A&M South Carolina?
God, I do want to talk about A&M South Carolina.
The first ever victory for the Gamecocks in this trophy rivalry, I believe.
The lesson is that, yes, in the cross, this is, again, everything that we say today is going to lead back to LSU is somehow doing things right and being competent, because they defeated their cross-divisional rival, as Billy Gomila pointed out. Okay, I mispronounced his name again. I'm very sorry, Billy, but I'm very excited about how bad your rival is. That would be Texas A&M, who's in the same division, but lost to their cross-divisional rival, okay, because LSU defeated Florida earlier this season handily. Y'all play South Carolina as your cross-divisional rival. And lo, did we mock this. Ha, ha, ha. The essential Kenny the Thrill Hill game between Texas A&M and South Carolina. And yet, what does A&M do but immediately face plant when they enter this game, going down 17-3, mounting a valiant comeback, and then getting stomped out, getting absolutely matched out on the last two drives by 5-2 South Carolina. Capitalism is a lie. And I'm not going to tell that to you for reasons that there's a better system. I don't have any alternatives, but I do know this. Jimbo Fisher makes the money whether they suck or not, and they suck. They suck so bad. The incentives have failed. The budgets have crashed. I have nothing to tell you other than you have in year five, $95 million going to a dude who is coaching you into being Marshall. That's what you're facing.
Hey, Marshall beat Notre Dame. Settle down.
Marshall also beat James Madison, and I don't think A&M could do that.
I don't think they could either.
Didn't JMU beat App State? Right, there we have a transitive path that A&M cannot travel.
And at the time, we were like, oh, that's App State. That's, you know, that's like perpetual Cinderella, right? That's Little Glass Joe.
South Carolina's like the anti-App State. South Carolina's
literally
the App State you're always supposed to beat.
Man, South Carolina is crap state. You lost to them.
And you know who you don't want to see coming down the sidewalk when you just left the bar with $500 in cash and no ability to defend yourself after 12 drinks? That's right. Shane Beamer. Big Shane needs your money. Big Shane's going to take it.
Shane Beamer's like, they pay me $60,000 a year, but they let me carry nunchucks. That's why I'm in South Carolina for
Sweetest
life, brother.
King of the world. I like that he appears genuinely stunned every time they win. Yes. Like he goes out and he's like, I love these kids so much.
Oh my God. We fucking, yes, it is a very like we just hit a buzzer beater in March Madness.
I don't know how we beat Duke, but you know, I'm just glad to be here.
To be fair, this one did have more drama than it really needed to.
Sure.
It was clear for like an hour South Carolina was going to win. And it came down to, you know, Carolina had a nine-point lead. A&M hits the field goal with 17 seconds to go and then gets the onside kick. And then this was the part of this game that struck me the most. With 10 seconds to go, attempted the 50-ish yard Hail Mary. Quarterback didn't appear capable of throwing it that far, which is fine, no shame there. But shouldn't you know that, and use some of those 10 seconds to get within his range.
Nope.
It was the weirdest shit I've ever seen. Incorrect. You hired this coach because he's good at thinking up football plays.
Well, he makes $95 million and you don't, Jason, so who's right?
So who's the fucking idiot?
So the market
idiot?
Is, I think the invisible hand has clapped itself firmly to Jimbo's back, and not yours, friend.
The invisible hand swatted that ball out of the sky well before the goal line.
So this drops A&M to what, 3-4 now?
Yep.
Okay. Let's
I looked at the schedule.
All three of us look at their schedule.
No, I didn't even you guys get to the schedule.
Oh, it's
this
bad.
This is what I looked at. The last time A&M was below 500 in October, Ryan Tannehill was a freshman on the team.
Oh.
That was 2008.
A freshman wide receiver. That's how long ago that was.
A&M joined the brand new Big 12 in 1996. And since then, this is the number of years in which they have three or fewer losses. Three losses is not necessarily an amazing season, but it's pretty good. They've done that three times. In that same time span, Wazoo has done it five times. This, I mean, like every mean thing we say about Texas is probably actually about Texas A&M. The more that I think about it.
Or at least both.
It's not not about A&M. That's what it is.
Just, by the way, in the chat, Jay Arnold, A&M grad and former player for A&M, absolutely fucking hammering the crying emojis. Like, he's just hitting them over, and it's all I see on the screen. It's beautiful.
He's also commented, I ain't going to lie, I'm getting cooked.
A&M in 2022 is like meeting somebody who is somehow currently the CEO of Blockbuster Video. It's like, you've lost. The world left you behind so long ago. Why are you still doing this?
Like, but you own Blockbuster and you owe all the fees that haven't been paid.
But you also want to brag
Jimbo's contract.
But you also want to brag about being Blockbuster and how awesome that is? You don't know this, but Blockbuster won the video rental championship in 1915.
That's a lot more recent than A&M's most recent title.
It is more recent. It is
1915? Is that what you said? Excuse me. All right. Excuse me. That is the correct error.
Yeah. I also have more stats for you, more records, more information. From Bruce Feldman, A&M has lost its last four games against unranked FBS opponents.
Oh, jeez.
Well, no. We got more death spiral narrative coming here. And Jimbo Fisher is 2-6 in the Aggies' last eight against FBS competition. FBS. They're also last in the SEC in scoring. This is more from Bruce. And number 111 entering today. They've gone 9 games against FBS opponents without scoring more than 24 points. Tomorrow, it'll mark more than a year since A&M scored more than that in a game.
This is A&M is if NC State
They're
knew how to
offensive coordinator, and he costs $95 million.
A&M is if NC State knew how to press a pair of pants and had a really cool dog. That's
Jesus
it. That's
Ryan.
It.
A&M is just beveled Cal.
Oh my God. I thought I was being mean. Good God. It's bad. I mean,
all right,
I don't
so do,
like...
do the schedule thing. Do the schedule thing.
You know nothing but Nebraska that stays up late. Schedule thing.
How are you corny Nebraska? That's their whole thing.
I maintain those jokes are good. Like, I like that they do basic vaudeville jokes at midnight yell that are so bad. Like, you know how dumb an LSU Tiger is? How dumb are they? Someone drove up in a car and the tiger was like, "What's wrong with your horse?"
Woo! Woo! Get him! Woo!
But like with like random pauses between like every eight words, saw a car, huh, or whatever.
And it's what's fucked about it is it's like these jokes haven't made you good in the last 30 years. Why are we sticking to this?
I think the jokes just keep getting older to try to go back to that 1915 era.
I see. All right, we're gonna do these in Gaelic to see if they can take maybe.
Yeah. Schedule walk. Up next, give me a W or an L. Ole Miss.
I will say that's an L.
3-5. All right, you two are biased on this one, but they're going to play the Florida Gators.
every Florida game feels like a coin flip. So I don't know, Spencer, do you want to take win or loss and I'll take the other one?
It's possible Spencer's frozen.
I think Spencer's frozen, although he does look like he's just contemplating his thumb right now.
Contemplating the Aggies.
All right, so it's just the Jason. All right, so if it's up to me, I'll be the optimist and I'll say Florida wins.
Florida wins. Okay. All right, at Auburn.
I will give that one to A&M. And Spencer's okay. gone. Spencer's, fantastic.
Spencer's gone, but still in the space. Can you, if y'all can hear him on the space, drop in a minute.
Oh, he's definitely talking on the space, isn't he?
We can't hear him on the
That's
Zoom.
That's amazing.
That's
oh, fuck. Technology.
All right. Up next for A&M, we have UMass.
I have to give that to A&M. If they lose to UMass, like, at that point, the global economy should intentionally collapse so that Jimbo's buyout means nothing.
I wonder, like, does UMass even have enough money to pay Jimbo? Like, literally,
no.
The university?
No.
Not the football
no.
program?
No.
Like, endowments and shit?
No.
All right, so it all comes down to this. Rivalry week, 2 days after Thanksgiving, Texas A&M versus LSU.
So the only reason I'm going to say A&M wins is because that's not what's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give A&M that win.
All right, so A&M has just punched their ticket.
Lurched to 6-2. Bowl eligible!
To
print the
tweeted,
shirts!
To be tweeted about by the bowl season account. A&M has secured a trip to the Independence Bowl, or thereof,
yeah.
in a year in which they started number 6 in the country with the number 1 recruiting class with, hey, Spencer's back on the Zoom, with Jimbo as, like, Saban's kryptonite nemesis
yeah.
was the
yep.
storyline.
Yep, yep.
Gosh,
yep.
that was a long time ago.
Yep. And rampantly cheating, allegedly. Mm-hmm. Rampantly cheating.
Mm-hmm.
To go 3-4.
Cheating for what? Cheating for what, y'all?
Spencer's back
I'm
on the
back
Zoom.
And I got more to say.
Oh, man. Hi. So Spencer, we went through the schedule. I generously gave them 6-6, and they'll make bowl eligibility.
Oh, did you say they'd beat Florida? That's a
no, I said Florida would win, but I said they'd beat LSU because that game won't happen the way it's supposed to happen.
Oh, I don't see any chance of that happening. I'm going to go ahead. But let's put them at 5-7.
I love
okay.
it.
All right.
I love it.
Here's the fucked up thing. Even if we are completely wrong and they run through the rest of the schedule, it's still a complete failure of a season.
Yeah.
It's still a 4-loss season where you, like, won't finish, I don't know, you'll maybe finish 3rd in the division at that point. It's, Bull, you hate to say
thank,
it.
Thank God for Auburn, though, right? Thank God for Auburn.
God.
Said very few people ever.
Otherwise, you'd be the only tire fire around.
I already tweeted about this, but I'll bring it up briefly. Today, Bo Nix threw as many touchdowns as Auburn has thrown all season. 5.
They need him back.
He looks so much happier out there.
I hope he embraced everything about the Oregon lifestyle. I hope he's like, yeah, I got to go parasail while I'm high on an edible. That's good. He's lost all trace of his accent. He's driving an Outback around, just feeling good about vibes. He's like, yeah, you know, my girlfriend got me into crystals. It's cool. Like, he's...
Yeah. I missed Chick-fil-A for like 48 hours and then just kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, you know, like, it's not that good.
It's
crazy. It's
really not.
He's like, you know what? I like my tea just, you know, like tea, man. I don't need to put a whole lot of sugar in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't. It's crazy. I don't need a candy bar in my tea anymore.
What's wrong with you?
He's turned against everything he stood for, which was playing the weirdest football anyone's ever seen.
Playing the weirdest football consistently.
Did you all watch the Oregon-UCLA game?
I watched the pull away. I watched Oregon hit the Jets on UCLA.
Bo Nix looked fucking amazing in that game.
He looked great.
Like, his decision-making was great. It was like, he would take the ball, and it was like, step, 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 ball out. Step, step, step. Like, he hit deep passes. He ran the ball, like, smartly and intentionally. Bo Nix was a fucking killer in this game. No trace of any of the, like... I think what happened in Georgia was that was him, like, puking all the Auburn out of his system. Like, that was the detox of all the Auburn that was left.
The purge.
Yes.
I'm looking at his career passer rating by year.
Yeah.
125, 123, 130, 157.
Yes. Yes. Like
he's having a great time.
The Georgia game was what it was, but everything, like, and he's had some weird moments since then as well. But this game specifically, he was lights fucking out. It was really fun to watch, honestly. Both of these teams, but like, there was one punt in this game, and Oregon was the one that had it. It ruled.
It is maybe this is why. This is basically why every QB should transfer once.
So I've already fucked up the order, and I'm sorry, because we said we were going to do this. All right, so let's go back on the schedule. Remind me where A&M has its wins already.
So let's see. They did beat Miami, right?
Let's talk about
they
Miami.
They beat Arkansas.
Yeah, because remember.
Sam Houston.
Houston is trying very hard, and Arkansas is going through it and needs some space.
Yeah. Yeah, but what about Miami?
I would like. What did anybody have any information on what they did today?
I don't know. You see, I could check this here score.
Well, the school of turnover chain fame, coughed it up 8 times after retiring the turnover chain.
Okay, but they were probably playing like Clemson or.
They
somebody
were...
with like a ridiculous defense,
hi,
right?
I have an answer.
Yeah?
Yeah, they were playing fucking Duke. Duke starting QB had 136 yards of total passing. Oh, but maybe they ran for like 500. No, just a tiny 200. Respectable.
Surely all these turnovers, all it did was like it made it so like Duke's like squeaked out a bullshit victory, right? Like,
it was 45-21, Jason.
Do you know? So that's a margin of 24. Do you know how many points Duke scored off turnovers?
How many?
24 points. Right. Hit the number on the goddamn head.
This box score is a crime. Oh, this is God. They gave him the Ocho. They got the full Ocho.
Like Miami A&M was a ranked matchup at the time. And there was like some heat on it. And man, that was stupid. And man, Miami sure did lose it.
This is a worse loss than the MTSU loss. I can't believe I'm
saying that. I don't know about that. Have you seen what MTSU has done since
they've been fine. Don't look.
MTSU for the record, has never been fine.
For the record, MTSU since beating Miami and going on every television and radio program they could to brag about it, lost to UTSA by 15. Lost to UAB by 27, and lost to Western Kentucky by 18. They
well,
were
these
off...
are all these are all better teams than Miami. So I don't
that's true. That's
the
true.
Schedule, the difficulty is they are working their way through the Mortal Kombat ladder. Miami was an easy fatality victory.
So
except they keep working their way down on the Mortal Kombat ladder.
They've already. Right? I think they've proved their point. Is the thing. we've said enough.
Our point is that we are not good at football. We would like to stop proving this point.
We are better than Miami at football.
I'm thankful as a Florida fan that Miami exists. So that we're you're like, oh, look at those guys. Mm-hmm. Jeez. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Florida and Miami fans are really locked in a like that fucking idiot and just like one-upping each other very carefully as the season goes on. And they both still have to play Florida State, which is also going to be fun.
Yeah, also, like, we have to play Georgia, so I'm going to get in these 8 turnovers before next weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
Before Anthony Richardson throws 10 picks in a game.
Listen, I know that you and I approach this differently, and Florida didn't even play today, so we're not going to talk about this long.
No,
is there anything that could happen in the Florida-Georgia game that would make you mad? That would make you like, urgh!
No.
Right. You know why? Because Georgia's not fucking Duke.
Do you want to know, like, seriously, you gave Duke on the football field what Duke gives its graduates in real life. 8 turnovers to start. That's what you get, right? Like, oh, I got that prime consultancy. That's 8 turnovers.
I want to get this right because it's just stupid. All right. This is from our friend Lieutenant Winslow on Twitter. Six of Duke's 15 possessions today started inside the Miami 30. And the reason, I think the reason is it's not more than that. It's because like two of the turnovers were like pick sixes. So I think, technically, I think wasn't those a count position, too. Do yeah, they?
Y'all are playing fucking half court basketball.
Oh, man. Man.
So, as of now, three times in five seasons, Miami has started ranked and finished unranked. I'm going to go ahead and count this year on that list.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That is difficult to do because you have to be both bad while making people think you're good, right? Yeah. It's a tricky balance to pull off. There's only a few schools that can do it. Miami is high on that list. Here is the thing that might be unique. This cannot possibly have happened many times in college football history. Miami has started ranked, finished unranked three times in 5 years with three different head coaches. That's tough to do.
They're going to fix it. It's fine. This will fix it. Mm-hmm. This will be the one.
This is the one who will make it stop.
This is the one. Let's play the schedule game with yes! Miami's remaining schedule. Okay, I'll call them out and you guys give me win or loss. Next week, Virginia.
Loss. Virginia posted the first funny victory Photoshop I have seen in like a year. Just a really, really low effort. Like it looks
much like their game against
like
Georgia Tech.
A Second Life screen cap of like somebody bug spraying it looks like a hornet's nest or something. Okay. Like it's not. It doesn't appear to me to be a Yellow Jacket's nest. But the point was made. It was an excellent graphic. Unironically loved it. Looking forward to another one about them like spraying a hurricane.
With the exact same bottle. Right. The same. Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Florida State.
Loss.
Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm. Win.
Oh, all right. Clemson.
Oh, sorry. Loss.
Loss. How emphatic can I make it?
It was sort of like, I was like, surely I've already said lost by now.
And last, finishing the season, hosting reigning ACC champion, Pittsburgh.
Pat Narduzzi hates his team, so loss.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to go win. I'm going to go, no, I'll
you'll,
flip
you'll
it
give him that one.
Pit. I'll give him the win. I'll give him the win over Pitt. Yeah.
Pitt's in a real, yeah. Pitt's a real struggle machine right now.
Pitt's that by design.
I think we have Miami not bowling, I believe.
Correct. That I think generously that gave them 5-7.
Oh God, Jason, I just saw the Victory Friday.
It's awesome.
It's so good. It's is such awesome. Shit.
It's like fantastic. There's no one on the field. There's no markings on the field. The field has no sensation of grass to it. The crowd is like four rows high. What stadium is this? There's an expanse of grass behind the crowd, and then there's a building of some sort, and then there's like a roof that the insect nest is hanging from. It's awesome. Uh-huh.
Or it's freestanding. I don't know which one, but yeah,
floating.
Yeah, it's just floating, and he appears to be without great energy or enthusiasm, spraying
yes,
anti-Yellow Jacket spray on this alien pod.
Yeah. It's very Friday Night ACC levels of just like fuck that thing, fuck that particular thing.
I hope the ACC's social media people are just issuing memos all around, being like shittier. Worse.
Do more of this. Do
more
like,
of this.
Be like Virginia.
The worst part was when you do something like this, and we have another record we're going to talk about, I think. But when you turn the ball over eight times in a game, which is just fucking hard. Like it's really fucking hard to do that.
Yeah.
Everybody goes scurrying to Football Reference or whatever to sort of say like, when is the last time this happened? And you end up getting polls about, like, the last time this happened, it was Nebraska and a loss to Iowa State, where neither team scored more than 10 points. Congratulations, Miami, you had a great day.
Oh, yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah.
who is this? Bro Boma, at Bro Boma, who has made a gif of Jay Arnold repeatedly hitting the sad gesture in the comments.
It was spamming the tears.
It's also really unfortunate that, like, look, Miami, you're playing Duke at home. Duke now has a winning streak over Miami in Coral Gables, in South Florida.
Holy
not Coral
shit.
Gables, but you get the idea.
Yeah, wherever they are.
So that's unfortunate on the highway exit where the stadium lives. But like, this is supposed to be a lay low week where it's just like, I don't know, Miami beats Duke by 10 and nobody really pays attention. Nobody, you know, whatever. But instead, you did this at the same time that the school your coach just left fucking hammered UCLA. And not just hammered UCLA. I mean, it was a close, it was a 15-point game and UCLA played well. But Oregon did this in such a, like, smooth and well-executed and, like, combination of coaches putting players in position to succeed. And meanwhile, Mario Cristobal, after his team turns the ball over 8 times to lose to Duke by 24, is like, if people don't want to play hard here, they should get out.
I don't think
immediately, like... What? Like, if you have the 8 turnover game, just be like, guys, this is fluky and weird and bad, but it's not going to happen every week. Don't.
Yeah, you don't even.
That's the excuse, not. Don't throw the players under the bus when that's right there.
You don't have to go in and say, hey, about the 8 turnovers.
Right.
It's like the night when dad burns dinner, orders pizza, and it takes 90 minutes because you ordered from the dumb pizza place, not the place that you know will get it there in 35 minutes. No, you don't talk about that because everyone is so incensed, enraged, and tired.
You eat dinner at 9:45. You don't yawn. You're not tired. Mm-mm. You're proud of your dad.
No, and everyone's like, Dad, tonight was real fucked up.
But not going to talk about it.
We got pizza.
That's the other thing is that in that scenario, you get pizza. And in this scenario, Miami, you lose to Duke by 24 points.
Miami got no pizza whatsoever. Duke stole your pizza.
I'd much rather have late pizza than a loss to Duke.
That's when the delivery man shows up and robs your house.
8 times!
Surely he won't be back to 7.
The delivery man is circling the block. You're peeking out. You get the lights turned off. You're peeking out through the blinds. Oh, fuck.
He's like, hey, man, my car, I only have a Civic here, so I can't hold that much, but I'm going to be back, just to
be
clear.
I'll be back for more of your pizza.
Yeah.
You owe me pizza.
You come to my house. Also, I need you to bring that flat screen because it won't fit in the Civic.
I'll be back in 30 minutes, so start cooking.
Man.
Yeah, this was a day of dark comedy. This was basically like a grim day of dark comedies. I would like to share some of my favorites with you. your guesses don't count, but I'm going to make you do it anyway. 8 first downs.
Yes.
1 of 13 on third down.
Oh, I know this one.
1 of 4 on fourth down.
I needed the second.
Sing along. Sing along if you know it, folks.
Sing along. Here we go.
Are we adding in 6 turnovers as well?
You should.
Six turnovers.
Because we're describing our beloved Iowa Hawkeyes.
God.
The darkest comedy of all. I want to point something out about their performance against Ohio State, all right?
Yes.
Because of that outpouring of turnovers, they basically did a Miami's worth of turnovers without doing a Miami's worth of offense. Ohio State had scoring drives of 24 yards, 17 yards, 15 yards, 4 yards, 1 yard, and a pick 6. People have joked all year about like whether Iowa should just punt on first down, whether they'd be better off punting on first down. This is the game where I think that was literally true. Like, imagine Iowa's 6 turnovers that they accumulated by attempting to offense and replace those with punts by their really good punter, Torrey Taylor. That's like 300 yards that they squandered by attempting to do offense. Like, Ohio State would have had to try to score points. And, like, Ohio State didn't have some amazing day of offense. Like, Iowa's defense, relatively speaking, played its ass off. They held Ohio State well below their season average yards per play.
They got Iowa the lead briefly in this game.
They scored.
That happened.
They scored far more points than Iowa's offense did. I am sincerely convinced that if Iowa had punted on every first down, they would have given up fewer points and they would have scored more points because their actual touchdown unit would have been on the field. It feels like I've said this every week, but this was the most Iowa game because this was the game where it was true. They should have just punted every time they touched the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, the camera people are now onto it. they're onto the Brian Ferentz thing, because they had a camera trained on Brian Ferentz the entire game, and every time they did something bad, Brian Ferentz on cue, a sucker, don't even take the bait, would express emotion like, and that's not, don't do that. We know, dude. You know they have a camera on you. It's only gonna get worse.
What could he do though? What's the cool thing Brian Ferentz could do?
Big thumbs up, like
positive,
cartoonish. Positivity, a lot of clapping, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think he should just keep putting on more sunglasses, like keep like stacking them on top of each other.
It's a good bit.
Oh, what a fucking cool customer this. Nothing phases Brian Ferentz. He's got 18 pairs of sunglasses falling off his head, but he's not worried.
You know what? Some absolute football guy moron's gonna love that though. It'll be like, "Thank you, he's so cool."
That projects confidence. That's right. Projects
confidence. This team hasn't given up on him. Look at all those sunglasses.
Fear lives in the eyes, and you can't even tell he has them because he's got all the sunglasses on.
His future's so bright. His sunglasses are wearing sunglasses.
It is. Look at that. That guy's unfazed. That's the guy I want running my offense. Like, seriously, Pat Narduzzi would see that, and he would absolutely be like Vince McMahon in the, like, Hot Father game, right? Like, he'd fall over in his chair.
I just – all the answers that Gary Barta and Kirk Ferentz give, like, they're all the same. They're all just like, well – I don't know if you know this, but we've had a good football team in the past, and yes, we'll evaluate everybody when the season is done. Just like, they should just hand out cards. They should just be like, whatever your, these are the three possible answers to your questions.
Yeah, here, that's this it. This is the creed. Skip it. Recite the creed. Like they should just say, like, the whole coaching staff is coming back next year.
Yes.
Why are we doing this?
Right.
We're all related to each other, and no one is leaving this family. You will watch this shit again next year. Everyone knows it.
I don't care that your brother is farting in bed all day. You will love him.
You will hug your brother goodnight. You don't care how much. I don't
while
care
he
how
farts
many
on you.
Times he has failed to punt.
This big stinky house is our house. And it's not going to get to smelling any better anytime soon.
Have you thought about opening a window? Absolutely not.
No.
Absolutely not.
That's how offense gets in.
like they are the most, seriously, they're the most like, fuck you, we are getting to retirement duo I have ever seen in my life. That is the entire point. In case you
I have taught like, I have taught French at this high school for 18 years, and I only have two more to go, and I don't give a fuck if you pass the AP. I don't give a fuck at all.
Hey, that bank over there is being robbed, Lieutenant. Do you think you... Nope, retiring in a day. I've seen that movie. Not doing it.
No, it's too many yards away. Speaking of those, Iowa was already last in the country in those. And then today, it got worse. And they still have to play Purdue, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. If they finish last in total yardage, dumb stat, but it very much applies here. The only Power 5 teams to finish last in total yards in the past 15 years were 2016 Rutgers and the Wake Forest team that was in the Frank Beamer 0-0 meme. That's your company, Iowa.
Jason, I want you to do me a favor and look up something live for me. Go find on CFB reference Spencer Petras' first start as an Iowa quarterback. I think it's in 2020 or so.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there a long time. He started a lot of games, but okay. I want you to read off his stat line from his first start.
Well, in that particular game, 2018, there was an attempt, not a completion.
No, that's not his first start. Like, go to the
first
game.
Appearance.
Yeah, the first game where you can tell, like, oh, he was the starter. He threw a lot of threw a lot of passes. Yeah.
Okay. Is it not in 2019?
It might be 2019. I don't know.
I'm going to look this up at CFB Stats.
Okay,
is that where you told me
fine.
To go?
Either one works.
So Alex Padilla is the backup to Spencer Petras. And when he came in the second half, he threw a pick.
Yeah.
Yeah, first.
The
first
system pass. Works.
The system works. He came in.
The system
and
fucking works.
Immediately gunned a pick.
Okay, I'm ready now, Ryan.
Okay.
It looks like in the first start was 39 attempts.
Yep.
Followed by a game with 50 attempts.
Okay, and in that first start, that's a Purdue game, right?
Yes.
How many yards does he throw for?
265.
Do you think he will ever come close to that in the rest of his Iowa career? Because his yards this year are, not including this game, 109, 92, 175, 148, 246 against Michigan, almost all of which came late, and 170 against Illinois.
That's his career high.
Like,
so what I'm seeing here is, you know, every year in the NFL, there's like week 13. We look up like that guy.
Right? Yes,
he's
going
to be the quarterback of the Ravens once Lamar Jackson leaves for his rightful home in Atlanta.
Spencer Petras is going to start like what 28 games, 30 games for Iowa, and his yardage high, the way things are going, is going to be his first start against Purdue in 2020.
So one might say he was getting worse with continued exposure.
It's like if a quarterback had a half-life.
Honestly, yeah, he's devolving.
He's decaying over time.
A half-life, which is you can continually get closer and closer and closer to the goal line, but never actually cross it.
But never reach it, correct. Now, that said, if we're going to play the schedule game, God, we got we don't have to. You don't have to do anything. but no, if one so chooses, the pickings for the next month of Iowa football are, I mean, just to start with next week, Iowa Northwestern. Nobody wants this.
No.
Like, God. Nobody wants this.
No, thank you.
I really can't think of a Power 5 matchup that nobody wants less than this.
I think that's probably right.
I would have said I would have said Indiana Rutgers, but Rutgers just won a home conference game for the first time in like 3 years.
Iowa, Indiana.
Yeah. Iowa, Indiana, I might want less, but it's about the same. It's a push. I'm glad Indiana is not on this list.
I have to admit, my compulsion to watch this Iowa offense is approaching a kink that I don't like talking about in public.
Sure.
Welcome aboard.
It's so close to that.
It is. There was a moment earlier today where I left the room, came back in, and saw Iowa's predicament on offense, and I said, "What the fuck? Like, how did they end up here? They were on their own, like inside their own one, and then a false start happened." And Joel Klatt says they need to get some yardage so they can punt.
They were running the QB sneak like out of the end zone, like just go, just get him away.
Klatt was concerned they wouldn't have that was the goal for the offense, right? It's just to clear some space for the punter. And before that, when Iowa's defense scored a touchdown, Klatt said, "Well, they knew they had to because the offense wasn't going to."
Oh, this, God.
I wanted
Iowa
to talk
fucking
to you.
Rocks. It's awesome TV.
Yeah, I don't know. At one point, I'm like, I don't know. I'm getting horned up watching this. This is weird.
They have scored, in conference play, they've scored 57 points.
Well, I mean, it's still September, so that's not too terrible. Right? Oh, shit, it's not.
Dude, if they score 50 on Northwestern next week, I am going to die laughing.
Unleash hell!
Spencer Petras just dropping nukes. Just sitting there like, at last!
Let the big dog roam. Yeah.
Let the big dog run.
All right. Let's talk about the LSU Ole Miss game. Because this was even though this was a week of good bloody comedy, most of it was, I would say, inconsequential. It was like a team that was sort of teetering on the, like, is this going to be an okay season or a bad season, falling into bad? Or it was a team, or it was, you know, like, here are two good teams, one of them has to lose.
Or it's like, Syracuse is flying really high, let's see how high.
Yes, yeah. Right. The second half is that Syracuse game, but that's a whole separate thing. But Ole Miss LSU, like, that's the biggest head that was taken on this day, right?
Yeah.
I think relatively, and Here is the thing I think you need to know. In the second half of this game, LSU averaged 7.5 yards on first down. And there is no like, oh, there was that one first down where they ran for a 78-yard touchdown. The longest gain they had was 17 yards. They just absolutely chewed through the Ole Miss defense, which was playing with a lead to start this game. I think the lead at one point was 17-3 or something. And I went back and looked, and I was like, okay, how many times, like, Ole Miss has had nice success under Lane Kiffin, but it feels like it falls into a pattern, or one of two patterns. Pattern one is Ole Miss gets out to a huge lead and just boat races you the whole way. Seen that. That happens. Pattern two is Ole Miss runs out to a huge lead. Other team comes back, and then it's sort of back and forth, but Ole Miss sort of still pulls it out. So I was like, all right, how many times has Ole Miss fallen behind in the second half by multiple scores and won a game? And it's only happened twice, and they were both in 2020. They fell behind to Kentucky by 14 in the second half, and they won that game. I think they won that game in overtime after Kentucky missed an extra point, if memory serves. Mm-hmm. And South Carolina, the same year, they did it. But other than that, like, this is not a gear that Ole Miss has shown so far. It's like they can put you up against the wall. They can put you in a bad spot. But if you do that to them, they're probably going to lose the game. They don't really have the flex to go down and turn it around from there. Part of that is that, like, they do the Lane Kiffin thing where they're like, well, okay, it's all fourth downs now. It's oops, all fourth downs. And when it works, it's really fun, and you're like, oh, shit, maybe they're going to beat Alabama. And when it doesn't work, it's like, oh, fuck, LSU just got the pole on their own 40. Oh, Jesus Christ. And that's how you end up getting your ass kicked.
You know, like, real, yeah, and also a real simple answer for how LSU's doing things. They don't make a whole lot of mistakes. They don't ask a whole lot of Jaden Daniels as a passer, like, in terms of doing anything super fancy downfield. And they're real good on first down. If yeah. you go, if you get five, or if you get anywhere from 3 to 5 yards on first down, and you have an offense where you're just like, hey, listen, we're going to keep it tidy. That's keeping it tidy. You're going to be able to put a lot of defenses in a really uncomfortable position if you're productive on first down. And the way they do that, they figured out real easy. Hey, nobody seems to really want to defend Jaden Daniels. Like that numbers in the box thing, he had 120. He ran the ball 23 times today. I was like, he ran the ball a lot. He ran it 23 times. Like, he's just had a really, really neat year. I regret to inform that if you just become a pretty competent team that does not turn the ball over a lot and does well on first down, you're going to beat teams that make mistakes like Ole Miss. Or a bad in the red zone like Ole Miss.
If you simply turn it over fewer than 8 times, you'll probably win some win some games.
Yeah. Yeah.
What number would you say is, like, mandatory to avoid losing? I'm going to start at 8. I'm going to start there if I don't want to lose by 24 to Duke.
Like, and if you go back and look at the schedule, you can be like, okay, there are signs of this. Like, Ole Miss only beat Tulsa by 8. And they only beat Kentucky by 3, and they probably should have lost. Like, Kentucky had to fuck that game up multiple times to lose that. They were losing to Vanderbilt at the half. They only beat Auburn by 14, which in some years is fine, but this is not one of them.
Also, they've been planning around Jackson Dart. They haven't really been building on Jackson Dart.
Sure.
They've kind of been building around him and, like, trying to – when you get a game where he has to pass you back into contention, that's not a good look for them.
No. It's just it remains surprising that, like, they could jump out to the lead that they did, where it was like it all set up perfectly. They score a touchdown, they hold LSU to a field goal. They score another touchdown, they hold LSU to a field goal attempt. They don't even make it. They score another field goal. Okay, it's 17-3. We're cruising. And then you only score 3. You get outscored 42-3 the rest of the fucking way.
Ah, yeah,
boy.
Yeah.
That's rough. Yeah. I apologize. Yeah. I know that I recently said that Ole Miss was one of the most stable commodities in the SEC, and I feel like I had a hand in this, and I'm sorry. Oh fuck! I almost forgot. Holly had a question. This is good because it'll give us an excuse to go back to A&M. Okay, either of you can answer this. Do you think Shane Beamer would have a competitive South Carolina program against Jimbo Fisher without Will Muschamp's players?
That's so damning for Jimbo. That's so damning. That's so brutal. Oh, my God.
And to tie it in here, Yep, Ole Miss A&M sure is the next game for each of these teams. I'm sure everyone's going to feel great about it. I'm sure everyone's going to go into it with a real positive attitude and feel very excited about the outcome no matter what.
Oh, God. This was a grim day. God damn.
This one was particular.
For a few teams.
Yeah.
For a few teams.
Minnesota didn't have a fun day.
No, Minnesota didn't have a fun day. Frankly, I don't think Clemson had a real fun day. I don't think that was fun. I know that Syracuse spit the bit in the second half, but like they finally took the opportunity to bench DJ Uiagalelei in favor of highly touted 5-star Cade Klubnik. Cade Klubnik, who is
the most video game protagonist name I've ever heard, other than Jackson Dart. Those are the two most video game protagonist names possible.
Cade Klubnik, it is New York City in 2048. police will not help you. Cade, punch your way out of Crime City.
And he did.
He did. He punched his way out of... Listen, he didn't throw the ball directly to a safety taking midfield, right, on a wildly overthrown post route.
Yeah.
That's what he didn't do. Cade Klubnik punched his way out of coverage.
He did, yeah. and he took a late hit out of bounds on like 3rd and 21 that basically turned the game. Like, I don't know, maybe Clemson wins this game either way, but that was the moment it felt like, oh no. Oh, Clemson. Syracuse really just stepped in it.
Hey, listen, you don't get to where Syracuse was without aggression. You don't get aggression without being stupid. Y'all, making a defense is like a college student making a cocktail. You can either get too much mixer or too much alcohol, but you're never going to get the right amount of both. So you might as well take too much booze, okay?
Yeah, that's it.
What did they get by being this stupid and aggressive? They got to being undefeated. They lost to Clemson because they're stupid and aggressive. You know what? Stupid is their strength. They need to stay with it. Just keep doing that. Smack people out of bounds. It got you to 6-1.
This is the best graduation speech I've ever heard.
Yeah. Stay stupid, grads. All you got to stay just dumbass.
And then you heard what Dabo said after the game, right? Because, of course, the first question is like, oh, well, you know, who's your starter since you pulled this guy and the other guy came in and Cade Klubnik came in and won the game? No, DJ's the guy. DJ's the guy. No dispute here. No issue here. So we're going to get at least one more of these games on Clemson's inevitable path to a playoff spot that pisses everyone who's not a Clemson fan off.
Mm-hmm. Probably most Clemson fans, honestly. Like, they're going to be really jazzed about with their number 4 ranking and getting to play Georgia or Ohio State. Like,
yeah.
We all know what's going to happen.
You
want to see that. Clemson fans don't want to see that.
Yeah, and we're going to get like a 24-7 loss for Clemson in the playoff. Right?
Yes, that's the exact number. Yes.
We'll be like, wow, that defense played well.
It's like looking at this team.
It was 10-7 at half, bro. It was 10-7 at half. Anyone's game.
It is zero doubt this is a, if there are 10 tiers of teams, it is zero doubt this is near the top of the second tier, right?
Sure.
But it's also really bad. That's Clemson.
It is, yeah.
It is. They're the number 4 seed in the playoff. They might as well just drive there right now. And they're kind of bad.
Well, especially like you look, I mean, maybe this is wrong now, but you look at who's left. Notre Dame, Louisville, Miami, South Carolina.
I mean, South Carolina's the tough game. That's the hard game.
Sure.
Big Shane coming around the corner,
and then
with a sock,
you know,
full of pennies.
Then the UNC random result generator in the conference title game, but that's it. Like you beat Shane Beamer, and you're in the playoff despite sucking.
God.
And that's why A&M's not going. That's the answer.
Shane, Big Shane coming around the pipe.
Shane. Every line of dialogue in that movie is just saying the name of the movie, sadly.
Yeah.
Shane. Speaking of Westerns, I would like to turn to shout out to our two Division I conferences in this space tonight, the Southland and the Big Sky, of course. I'm wearing my Big Sky hoodie. Here's a Big Sky report for you, okay? every college football weekend, some shit happens that seems like, it's in the moment, it feels like the weirdest thing in the world, right? Some team forgets how to call timeouts or forgets how to pass or, you know, real dumb shit happens.
Clemson did have a delay of game on an extra point today, which was fun. Anyway, please go
for
ahead.
For instance, there we go.
Yeah.
In the moment,
little
it felt
old,
like...
Look at you talking about little old Clemson there, Ryan.
We're not too good at fancy city stuff like math, but...
But even that wasn't as dumb as when, early in the South Carolina game, Jimbo had what he thought was a 4th-and-1 that he was going to go for. But then it turned out that the spot wasn't as favorable as he hoped, and it was 4th-and-2. So he called a timeout so he could kick the ball instead.
Oh, my God. I didn't even see that.
Yeah.
Because that's completely different.
It's completely different. We're not ready for that. I had 4th-and-1 play dropped off. The play just stops at 1 yard. There's no way
I'm past
that.
I got a 70-page playbook. We got all sorts of plays for a 1 yard, a 2 yard. I only make $9,500,000. You expect me to gain 2 yards? You're going to have to pay me $7 billion to get 2.
I'm sorry. The market is spoken and the rate is the rate.
So, also, we're going to have to call timeout. So, today in the Big Sky Conference, some shit happened. Your run-of-the-mill weird college football shit, it's great, it's wonderful. This was one of the weirdest things in college football history, and that is, I realize that is saying a lot, but it just was. Weber State, FCS number 5, Montana State number 3, national title-worthy game, even by Big Sky standards. It's a great game. The Bobcats won 43-38. They won because the exact same bad thing happened 4 times. A snap sailed past the punter and into the end zone and usually out of it. The all-NCAA record for safeties in a season is 5. Montana State scored 4 in 1 game, a new D1 single game record.
The last one was my favorite for the record.
Yes, the last one had some bounces and dribbles to it. And do you feel like you're watching the same play over and over? Like, do you feel like, wait a second, you're only showing me one?
So the last one stands out because the first three are all very similar. It's like, oh, that ball's just gone. That ball's just it's fig jam. It's Phil Mickelson being like, absolutely, I can hit this green in 2. And it's like, oh, that's in the tent, my dude. That's 100% in the hospitality. That's in a vat of cocktail weenies right now. But the last one, have you gotten to number 4? Watch number 4.
I am watching number 4 right now, and the punter just boots it out of the back of the end.
That's the one. That's the one that makes it special. Is the punter, having seen this 3 times, is like, fuck this. Kick this away.
The ref won't notice if I just scoot this under the rug.
You know what he's thinking? I can read his mind because that is one of my powers. And this punter is thinking, fuck, I'm getting my foot on it somehow.
I'm a punter. That's what I do.
Like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I put total leather. You can't blame me on that play.
How did I don't know. Did they have any successful punts in this game?
I believe so. I believe so. Don't quote me on that. But like
that feels even worse somehow.
The long snapper is like he played all last year. He's played all this year. Like he's a highly competent D1 football player. And like their coach after the game, Jay Hill, was like, I mean, what in the world are you supposed to do? Like this is you don't like long snapper is like. It's like the secret load-bearing element of every football team. Your quarterback goes down, well, you have a backup who takes reps with him every single day, right? If all your quarterbacks go down, you have an emergency wildcat option offense.
If you have a wide receiver who just, like, can't catch the ball one day,
you throw
to somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah, we put 5 guys on the field anyway. Your long snapper goes, you know, your long snapper has a bad day. You can't football anymore.
Yes. Even if your place kicker is like fucking shanking everything, you're like, well, the punter can kick.
Yeah.
And there's probably a quarterback on the roster who has before too.
Or a wide receiver who can kick. Yeah.
If something bad happens to the center, you slide over a guard who has trained to be the backup center, right? But like this is just, what the fuck are you supposed to do? And all of these were like from their own like 15 or 20, right? It wasn't like at midfield where it's just like they could just go for it.
And it also wasn't like, oh, they're snapping the ball from their own 6, and they're, like, fucked. They all had to be the, like, right amount of weird and bad to go this way. They did – I looked it up. they did successfully punt once, which seems meaner somehow. The fact that they did this once successfully and four times so unsuccessfully, yeah. It's just like, man, I would have felt better as the punter if they had all gone wrong, because I could have just been like, this was a prank.
This wasn't our day.
I was just...
I hope that punter hit the gritty after that.
Wasn't even that good. It was a 38-yard punt, but who cares? Compared to the others, it was fucking golden.
The best punt of the day. So it actually gets even weirder, because mm-hmm. Montana State barely won despite those 8 free points, right?
Yeah.
So you might think, oh, well, because the game was close anyway, that might mean Weber gained a ton of yards. No. Montana State won the yardage battle by 150, had 1.5 more yards per play, got those 8 free points, only turned it over once, and barely won simply because most of Weber's yards came on their touchdown drives. They got all their yards at once. But, like, Montana State dominated the box score and got 4 free scores, and it was still a super competitive game.
Normal sport.
Yeah, yeah, again, that's every day in the big sky, brother.
That's big. By the way, big sky football right now. You got Montana.
Yeah, another top 10 matchup. Montana Sac State.
Yeah,
going on right now.
I have breaking news from Alex Hickey. Listening to this, Rod Gilmore on the broadcast of
Washington Cal.
Rod Gilmore just referenced shrooming. He just referenced shrooming.
Honestly, I assume to Rod Gilmore that just means getting like standard white mushrooms on a pizza. Like that's living.
Because
that's really getting crazy.
When I feel like eating a spicy meal, I cut up one mushroom.
Ooh, texture variation. Rod is intrigued.
Rod Gilmore has gone from the dude that I was sometimes slightly irritated by his conservatism to being a dude who I'm like, I would take a bullet for Rod Gilmore.
I hope Rod Gilmore is like the Wayne Brady character on Chappelle's Show.
He is! That's him in real life!
The Rod Gilmore RG3 booth. I want that very badly.
Rod Gilmore invited me to brunch, and we did 5 finger filet right on the table at Cracker Barrel. It was crazy.
9:30 a.m.
Then he had decaf.
Like for real. Like he doesn't need the caffeine. You realize that man was doing like hard CrossFit workouts while he was undergoing chemo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Rod's about it. Yeah. Every single way. And yeah. I guarantee you, if somebody comes at him about this, is like, hey, Rod, we shouldn't mention shrooming on the broadcast. He'll be like, it's a legitimate therapeutic medicine.
Listen,
I don't want, yeah.
The South Carolina A&M game had extensive discussions about corn dogs, so it's fine.
Yeah, and then, oh, by the way, he capped it with, little early to chase these points. Again, Rod is the fucking man. That's right. The brand is so strong.
With 20 minutes to go in the game.
With 20,
and they're like, when is the time, Rod? In a game with 3 entire touchdowns, they're not going to be very many more. You might as well start chasing the points right now.
Jason, our steadfast king, says no, not yet.
I love him. I want an announcer to be all the way normie or all the way weird. Give me Gilmore and RG3. That's it.
I have one other announcing note from today, which is that Kirk Herbstreit attempted to pick up Bully, not realizing that Bully is made of actual lead and is 60 pounds of healthy American bulldog and was visibly struggling with the dog, which I don't know the last time, like, hold 60 pounds of unwilling animal in your hand. It's a lot. All right. I get that. But he looked like he was going through it. He's like, do we have a table we can put this dog on? Oh, good Christ.
Should we talk about Texas briefly? That might make Texas A&M fans feel better, and I don't really want to do that.
I don't want to do that either. Oklahoma State's good.
Well, Jay's still around, and he's been through a lot today.
Oklahoma State is good.
Yeah.
TCU is I have a hard time explaining how TCU is not going to go undefeated in the regular season, at least.
They might lose at Texas. But
maybe, but also, like, Texas has shown that no lead is unblowable.
Sure. The Big 12 is awesome this year. Every game is good. Every Big 12 game is good this year.
I honestly, like, behind the Big Sky, obviously.
Well, sure, yeah, granted.
Yeah, they're probably the second most entertaining
conference. As well as the Southland. Big Sky, Southland, Big 12, probably.
Yeah, in that order, again. If If, by the way, if any of those other conferences would like us to put them in the running for this, they can listen to the full cast after dark find. Live.
Also, speaking of the most entertaining team in the country, it's probably the Samford Bulldogs, I've always maintained.
We don't even want money. We just want you to, like, turn your Twitter on and walk away from your phone. That's it.
We just want to see your logo for the validation for us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Mm-hmm. I would also, what I do want to talk about, by the way, we talked about, you know, dark comedy today. I have another piece of dark comedy we need to mention, which is a legitimate achievement. Which is for the first time since, I believe, the Sylvester Croom era at Mississippi State, the Bulldogs scored against the Tide.
In Tuscaloosa.
A touchdown against Tuscaloosa. And how did they do it?
Was it early in the game? Did it plant seeds of hope? Did it inspire the Bulldogs to believe today might be the day?
Nope. More hopeless thrashing. Another 59 minutes of hopeless thrashing of Alabama doing nothing exotic on defense whatsoever and simply clobbering the Miss State offense as they do every single time with no separation between wide receiver and defensive back and nary a yard to gain between the tackles for the run attack. But how did they do this, Jason? I'm so glad you asked because I would love to read the play-by-play just to relate to you how futile this was. Down 30-0.
Please give us a time in the game at this point.
3 minutes and 50 seconds left. Mm-hmm. Will Rogers set sail on the Argonaut of good fortune, the wine dark waters of the Tuscaloosa Mediterranean ahead of him, like Odysseus heading towards an unfortunate and indeterminate fate. What he did was then lead a lightning strike because they needed multiple scores to even get close. A dink and dunk, 15 plays, 76-yard drive, bringing them air so close.
Like a cow digesting a cannonball.
Just moving furiously, nibble by nibble, right? Like a snake trying to swallow a brick. Just trying to get that thing down its dry, dusty gullet, all right? But our modern-day Odysseus, led by Mike Leach, calling exactly the same plays every down, leads them all the way down to the Alabama 4. And then Will Rogers passes with 20 seconds left and gets pass interference. That gets them to the Alabama 2. And what do? They pass again. And finally, with 10 seconds left, they run Joquavius Marks for a TD.
At the buzzer.
To finally get a touchdown.
Next score wins. What? Board. Fuck. Shit.
Ah, shit. Shit.
Who pressed that button? Yeah, they finally scored thanks to a pass interference call from the 4.
I love this, especially because this was their fourth long drive of the game. Uh-huh. One ended on a failed conversion attempt. One ended on a missed field goal. One ended on a failed conversion attempt. Those were 13, 15, and 13 play drives. Finally, one of these grand voyages hit pay dirt.
At last, their episode of Quantum Leap ends. They return home, defeated, but home. It's not actually what happened in Quantum Leap, but I'm not explaining it. Jumps
into Sebastian the Ibis's body. Oh, boy.
Oh boy. Back. This is worse.
I remembered what I wanted to say about the Texas-Oklahoma State game. First thing, and I think John Morse was the first person to notice this on Twitter. During this game, the announcers, because we're at this part, like, I feel like we've had a good run, but that's over. We're at the part of the season where it's like, it's time to shoehorn the playoff into as many conversations as possible. And during this game, Texas came up as like, well, yeah, they have two losses, but one of them was close to Alabama. And so, like, I don't know, this, our ESPN playoff number generator, which is definitely real and you should pay attention to, says if they win out, they have a 40% chance of making the playoff. The very next play, Oklahoma State scored the go-ahead touchdown. The very next one, which is great. And the second thing is, after like it kind of going away, and I know this was part of why they hired Sark, is he would just be like, I'm not gonna like make this a thing, and I'm not gonna like, we're gonna sing the song, we're gonna sing the Choo Choo song, and we're not gonna like talk about it on Twitter anymore. You can find the picture of like, here are the 13 sad Texas players who went out and sang the sad Choo Choo song. Like, it's back. It's an important tradition to go sing the sad Choo Choo song.
It is very critical that this remains a beloved tradition by everyone at the University of Texas after every game, for the nine people who are going through the motions of pretending they're okay with it.
Yeah.
So yep. I am currently, my hotel room looks out on DKR. Uh-huh. I'm in downtown Austin, and you can look at DKR. And I forgot they were in Stillwater for a minute. Like, you know, you're checking to see where things are this morning. And I was looking through the games, and I hadn't checked.
It's homecoming in Stillwater. Yeah.
Right. And I hadn't checked to make sure that, you know, Texas wasn't in town, you know. And I looked over and I was like, oh, at least my hotel room's quiet. Like a sincere thought, not a joking one, that DKR was. I was like, oh, if I got to do some work here, you know, it won't be too loud.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I hate to bring it up again. You know, it was fucking loud, and that was Williams-Brice. South Carolina was really fucking loud. A&M, I think at the end of the end they counted it, and A&M had eight full starts rather. God.
Yeah, although you know who doesn't use it, this is true. You know who wasn't using a silent count? I would bet you go back and look.
Correct. Because, the Jordan Rodgers on the call was like, why aren't they clapping? Why are they still trying to yell louder than all the people?
Dude, Jimbo didn't use a silent count in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. Like this happens every week.
Every week.
If you want the silent count's another $30 million if you want to unlock it.
I'm like a Tesla. You want brakes? Subscribe for another $3,000 a month.
You're stuck inside a burning Jimbo Fisher. If you want out, that'll be $100 million.
First, you got to go to somewhere with Wi-Fi.
Yeah, yeah. We don't connect over LTE, 5G. Fuck that.
That broke trash. Shit.
That's poor people broke trash. Shit out of here. That's what they use in jail.
Don't worry, that car's waterproof as long as it needs to be, which is 35 seconds.
You got Listen, if you want this seconds. Football program to break into school zone, that's going to be another $80 million.
Again, this is the team Miami lost to, amongst others.
Yeah, uh-huh. To be clear, there are several.
It's not the only one.
They're numerous. They have lost to Texas A&M, which pays its coach $400 quadrillion, and they have also lost to Mitsu, which pays its coaches and McDonald's stock.
A couple other things to notice from teams of note. Penn State did have a nice rebound because Minnesota is consistently disappointing. That's the kindest thing I can think to say about Minnesota.
Consistently erratic.
Yeah.
Erratic. Yeah. Just, I never, that's basically, if you want to go NCAA, create a team, midseason replacement, that's what you got. Minnesota every single time. You're like, oh, cool. They're 4-3. They're always 4-3, no matter what the actual record is. Tulane still 7-1, 38-28 over Memphis, baby.
Yeah, you goddamn right.
That was after they jumped out to a 35-0 halftime lead.
Yeah, this was a far more of an ass whooping than it looks like. Will success go to the heads of the angry wave of Tulane? You're damn right, because they want more of it. I want to note a sad note. A few weeks ago, we noted the last time KU started 5-0, they finished 0-7.
Uh-huh.
Kansas,
we're on the way.
Kansas is almost halfway there.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
So this occurred to me that Kansas might be in the middle of pulling off one of the saddest things a football team can do without an actual like bad real life tragedy. They might both miss a bowl and lose their head coach to a bigger job.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
You're right, but it's fucked up.
It's really fucked up.
Stanford, a.k.a. expensive Iowa, beat Arizona State 15-14. While managing to throw for 320 yards, only put up 15 points.
Again, the nibbler. The nibbler offense.
Yeah. We've got a lot of nibblers, man. Like, we spent all the 2010s like, football is high-tech and futuristic, and all the quarterbacks got computers in their arms, and like everything is explosions forever. And I'm looking at the score is 16-7, 14-14, 14-20. Those are the games going on right now in the wild and wacky West Coast.
I would like to thank UCF, right as everybody was like, I don't know, UCF's kind of risky. They only got the one loss. They're really piling up wins. Lost to East Carolina by 21. Great. Easy. Not a problem. Understood. Thank you. Don't have to think about you for a good bit.
Man, the committee's going to have to put Tulane in a New Year's Six game.
Yes, they are.
They're going to put them in there. Put them at 9 a.m. Just, I don't want to think about this.
I would like to, as my last game of note before turning the floor over to anybody else, I would like to note this, that our continuing experiment, you know, sometimes when you have those little terrariums and you put, it's a completely closed environment and there's a plant and there's some water and then sometimes there's a tree frog in there. Then the tree frog dies and they're like, ha, we shouldn't have put the frog in there. That is
Florida science, folks.
This was Tennessee elementary school, so yeah. put
the frog in there, it'll be fine. Give it a biscuit. Give the frog a biscuit, he'll live forever. Forever.
Why did he die? He didn't believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
He died because he ate the biscuit of good and evil.
That's right. It was temptation. This was a parable, and the frog didn't understand that.
The stupid frog ain't ever read its Bible.
So, you know, like the self-contained terrariums, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the self-contained terrarium of Pitt football that Pat Narduzzi has done, and was like, it's self-sustaining. It'll live. We don't need passing. We don't need an offense. I told you guys, this is an experiment. And I do it.
What did you pick for our trip to Mars? Just potato chips. That's it.
Well, that's how Matt Damon did it. But except they were potatoes, I guess.
We're gonna poop on the potato chips and we'll grow more. You'll see.
We're only going to prove Pat Narduzzi even more right though, because he lost to the baffling Louisville Cardinals, a team actively attempting to remove its coach like a boil, and a coach attempting to remove himself like a boil from the body politic of the Louisville athletic department.
This is like watching a crash test dummy kick the shit out of a car. It's like, that's not how this works.
All he wanted to do was lose to Pitt so he could get fired and get that buyout. But no, with only 14 first downs and only 300 yards of offense, Louisville somehow managed to beat Pitt because Pitt kept spitting up the ball like it was belching up magical caramels.
It's just
four turnovers. Four turnovers.
Pitt hates its own offense so much, it just lost to Yum Brands Auburn.
So Pitt's at 220 points this season. If we go back to last season, what were they at? All right, so Pitt last year was average. I know points aren't the measure. Don't tell me. Last year's Pitt team averaged 41.4 points per game. This year, before this result, they were down to 35, and they're going to dip even more after that. And they still have to – well, they play North Carolina, which will sometimes help your points.
Yeah, that'll bring it
– but like,
boost it back up.
They play Syracuse. They've got a good defense. They play Miami. All right, maybe this will work out for Pitt after all. Never mind.
Yeah, it will. It will somehow work out. This will
turn out okay.
Even though Dak Keaton Slovis, he put down the ball like 43 times. Two interceptions and, one fumble.
Fumble.
I still want to hear a Pitt resident say Israel Abanaconda. I really want to hear how that comes out of a Pitt resident's mouth. Maybe they nail it. Like, maybe they're like, yeah. And then you're like, hey, can you say Dan Smith? And they're like, Derb Smurf.
Yeah, this was a, this Saturday, it was just sort of like turnovers.
It wasn't memorable. Like, there's very little you're going to remember about this Saturday in particular going forward, but that doesn't mean it wasn't fun.
Yeah. It's going to, we'll remember Texas A&M. This will go in the highlight reel of the cavalcade of failures.
Will it just blend in with all the others? Will it be hard to separate from the other disappointments?
It's definitely one of their worst losses of the year.
Yeah. But they're all pretty bad at this point. So
again, you know who's gonna keep eating that garbage because someone left it out in the street? That's right, Big Shane, Daddy, big Big Shane. Every year is going to be Shane Beamer emerging, astonished that he survived the wreck, right? Whoa, crazy! We're in a bowl again!
Oh, man.
Go ahead, they, dump mayo on my head.
They got Mizzou and Vandy up next, too.
Oh, man.
7 wins, baby!
Fucking ranked South Carolina.
When Missouri is a struggle program right now. If there were two results today that made me feel simultaneously better and worse about the state of Florida football, better was LSU. It was like, all right, it's not just Florida. LSU is a good team. Worse was Missouri. It's like, well, fuck, they should have lost to Vandy at home. And Florida barely beat them.
So South Carolina was very briefly ranked 24th in 2018. Otherwise, they have not been ranked since 2014.
Bring it back.
Seems quite likely they're gonna
bring it back.
At least spend a week or two there.
This has been a good year for like every we told the parents like everybody would get ranked for at least a week.
Yes, there was. I saw a stat a couple weeks ago about like this year is especially high in the number of teams being ranked, and there is like a lot of pinwheeling going on from like 10 on down.
It's great. It's fun. Northwestern's not going to be one of those teams.
No.
The Iowa score 50 on Northwestern challenge, throwing that gauntlet down now.
How many overtimes do they get?
Yeah, that's a good, because Penn State only won that game 17-7 when they played Northwestern. Wisconsin killed them, and they only scored 42 points.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be even worse than you think.
This is like, man, all the mean things and true things we said about Iowa, and we just like said that they cannot possibly hope to achieve the explosive competence of the Wisconsin offense. That sucks, man.
That's where we're at. Wisconsin, which if I saw the ticker right, has now beaten Purdue 16 times in a row.
Everyone in the Big Ten West is stealing money. Just money. They're just some motherfuckers stealing money from school for the job.
I like that stealing this is money. Vaguely Bob Seger.
They're on the road and stealing money. Cashing checks, stealing money.
Is there at this point a Big Ten West team that would be like, no, we should keep our coach? Like, if you said, like, hey, you can fire your coach and it won't cost you anything. If we said, like, let's take that away, penalty free. Is there a single Big Ten school that would be like, well, we think we got something going here?
Just the West?
Yes.
And are we removing athletic department athletic director blackmail from the
equation? We are removing the fact that Gary Barta technically works for Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah, exactly.
For like a Shell Corp sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, this is not attached to any individual, and therefore it cannot be construed as libel or slander, but we're going to go ahead and call that the Gary Protocol, that there will be no kickbacks from salary.
Like, yeah. I understand that the answer at this point is Brett Bielema, which is the fucking wildest thing to say, is that Brett Bielema is the coach that they would say, like, no, we want to keep him.
What if you went to, like, the boosters at each Big Ten West school, besides Illinois, and you said, hey, listen, Brett Bielema wants to come to your school if you fire your
Come
coach.
On sure. over, Brett, yeah. Let's do it.
And
come,
you time it. You time it. So you tell them all that, and then they all do it at once.
There is a realistic scenario where I want to make sure I get this right. Yeah. I think Illinois can clinch the division by November 12th, by November 13th.
Fuck.
I think that can happen because they are up a game in conference play on Purdue and Nebraska. They have Purdue and Nebraska both left to play in their next three games. If they win their next three games, I think they could effectively clinch with like 2 weeks to spare.
So then the teams that are like clinched super early, their divisions are going to be Clemson and Illinois.
Yep.
Yep.
And then Brett Bielema needs to get that extension.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
A gigantic $110 million extension from the University of Illinois, and then he needs to go 2-10.
Yeah. That's the dream. Get the extension and park the bus. Get the extension and hustle toward that buyout.
And you know what he'll do? He'll say, well, I've made the Big Ten Championship as many times as James Franklin has, and it'll be true.
He'll just go back, work for the Patriots for a couple years, and then start this over again.
I've made it as many times as Jim Harbaugh has. That's true. That will be true.
It's also true. Yeah.
These are true facts. You can't get mad. Why are you mad at facts?
More, right? If we throw in his Wisconsin tenure.
Oh, I wasn't even going there.
Yeah. Like, he's done it more than almost every other coach in the conference combined.
Dude, maybe. You know what he should do? He should just go back to Wisconsin.
No.
Why not? No. Everyone's happy. Why not?
Then they'll pay him $120 million.
Wisconsin wants, like,
He needs to dangle it. He needs to be like, I'm taking the Purdue job first. I'm going to get them to the conference championship.
Yeah. I want an actual challenge.
Meanwhile, Kirk Ferentz is just like, I'm not going anywhere, fuckface.
Not going anywhere. No. None of you can make me do a goddamn thing.
Fully aware Coach Bielema has an Iowa tattoo on his leg. But I'm sorry, I'm not retiring.
Kirk Ferentz is so close to, like...
You know what I have a tattoo of? Nothing, because that's where I'm going. Nowhere. Zero.
He is so close to Nixon in The Onion right now. Like, the, like, come and get me, fuckers. Just all bunkered in with a rifle in the Oval Office.
Because I'm not going anywhere, and neither is my offense.
Oh, did we miss anything in this expansive survey of sorrow, despair, and the Big Ten West stealing money?
This coaching salary buys a lot of basement soup, as it turns out, so good luck waiting me out, fuckers.
I've got so many apocalypse buckets. So many MREs down here. I'm not going to shit for 10 years.
He'll never get bored. He's watched so much Iowa football. He can't.
Yeah. He's impervious. I do think the best Big Ten West rivalry trophy is the Apocalypse Bucket. The old oaken Apocalypse Bucket of bronze.
Yeah, listen, if you just add water and simmer for 3 days, you get a nutritious 30-gallon barrel of split pea soup.
It's welcome delicious. To Big Noon Saturday. It's the battle for the prepper's toilet.
the meal you can shit in.
Gus Johnson seriously had to get gassed up for, and here comes the Iowa offense.
Which, if I think he's had to see multiple times at this point.
Yeah. It's like having the Broncos on. They were just like, yeah, over-index on Iowa. Let's just have a bunch of them.
Folks, we are now 3 plays away from Tory Taylor.
Joel Klatt, why am I feeling nothing?
It's a fake. No, it's just a very bad incompletion. That's it.
Let's see what Alex Padilla could do. It's a fake. Touchdown, not Iowa.
Let's see it Iowa and A&M together. Let's get that bowl game. That's a bowl game we can make happen, right?
That's a Music City Bowl if I haven't heard one.
Oh, man.
So guess who's going?
Oh, buddy, I'll be on the ground. I will ask for sideline passes to that shit. You'll see me on TV nude. Eating a biscuit.
Hey, there we go.
It's time to end the show.
It is. Thank you for stopping by, everyone, and enjoying the stylings of Fullcast After Dark. I think the most thorough survey that you're going to get of everything that happened in the week that was in college football.
Miami turned it over 8 times.
Here's what you got to know. Miami turned it over 8 times, and Texas A&M is absolute garbage.
You could get divorced to 7 different people, and you'll still be doing better than Miami.
How many turnovers do you need to have to beat Miami by 24 points if you're a basketball school that cranks out neo-fascists? Easy.
It's eight.
The number
eight.
Is eight.
Keep that in mind, Boston College. You might need this one day.
Yeah, you might, buddy. You might. Okay, y'all. Good night.